Hello and welcome to the Beatles World Cup Best of Edition, where we are taking one aspect of the Beatles world and we are talking about it, Rob. We're going talk about it until you can't talk about it no more.
Well, you say that. I mean, I could talk all day about Beatles, and this episode will have a finite length, so I'm not sure you...
Absolutely. Well, how about we sort of like hone down the topic to something very specific, and this week it is the best use of a non-standard instrument, and that's meaning, you know, not your regular guitars, your bass, your drums, your piano, something that's a little bit special, maybe a little bit out of the blue.
Yes.
The best use of a non-standard instrument. Let's get into it. Sorry, I realised that sort of intro ended quite, I wasn't going to say sexily, but, you know, a little bit huskily.
Were you up on the mic?
Oh, like Rob, no, get away from the mic.
I'm right in your ear.
My goodness.
You need a cigarette.
Right, best use of non-standard instrument. There's lots of options here. I've kind of picked three, but I'll let you kick off with maybe your thoughts, Rob.
That's interesting, Jono, because I picked a winner and I picked two runners-up, so I've got three up my sleeve as well.
Okay.
How would you like me to attack them?
Just how about you do your third?
My third is on the song Yellow Submarine, John plays a bucket full of water. He blows bubbles, essentially. So,
wow. Did John do that? A whole episode of our Beatles World Cup was called Who Blew the Bubbles? Because no one knows. Can't be for sure that it's John.
Might have been Michael Jackson. Anyway, moving on.
What do you love about the bubbles, Rob?
I tonally, I think they're quite right, Jono.
Right.
Yeah, tonally, they're all there.
This is going to be a short episode. What's number two?
In a number two, one we've mentioned before on the show, I'd be surprised if I don't snap with you on this, Jono. Mal Evans playing the anvil on Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes. We got one, didn't we?
Or dunk, dunk, dunk. Well, yes, we did. We absolutely did. I will just pull you up on one small fact, though, there, Rob.
Right.
It was Ringo. It wasn't Mel. Mel did it in the rehearsals
at Twickenham. Okay.
But it was actually Ringo in the studio that did it.
Okay, I stand corrected.
But
it is the anvil. Is the instrument.
Yeah. Great. And number one.
Number one, in my contrary way, I've picked three instruments, but they are three instruments that go together. They are violins, violas, and cellos.
Eleanor Rigby?
It is. It's a string octet. So basically, there were four violins, there were two violas, and two cellos. And my God, I think that's just legendary. The sound of Eleanor Rigby, and it all comes down to those three instruments, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's frantic, it's manic, it's crazed, it's great.
It is almost not a psycho sound, like, but not that sort of shrieky, but like that kind of stabby jabby.
Yeah, it's on the way to that, yeah. But not a snap.
Yeah, and so, no, not a, we didn't match on that one, but also, you could probably also say violins in a little bit later in A Day in the Life as well, because they also had a big part in that.
Oh, well, that's even more instruments, isn't it, altogether, you know? There's the whole orchestra sort of works its way up, yeah.
Yeah. Can't really divide that one off. Well, interesting. We did have one match, which was the anvil for Maxwell's. So it's a shame that Mel didn't play it, because the look on his face, the happiness he shows in Get Back, where he's hitting that anvil, he just looks like he's having the time of his life.
He's loving it.
Absolutely loving it. Number two for me was, I'm surprised that you didn't pick this, Rob, because it is fairly iconic. The Mellotron Strawberry Fields Forever.
It does. Yeah, I mean, the song sort of, I won't say it hinges all on that sound, but that is a very interesting sound that you sort of associate only with that song. So, yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
There are mellotrons in some of the... I think they do something in the White Album with a bit of mellotron, I'm pretty sure. Can't quite remember, but it's certainly not as played as iconic as this. Yeah. George Martin said that mellotrons were like a Neanderthal piano. And it was apparently impossible to tune them, but they were quite like the sort of, you know, entertainment society thing to have. Peter Sellers had a mellotron. Princess Margaret, I think, had a mellotron.
Interesting.
Well. Yeah.
Can imagine her sitting there puffing away on smokes while she hammers out a tune.
Get me another gin.
Yeah, exactly. And then she'd start playing the mellotron.
And I think, I'm not sure if I've got this right, but I'm pretty sure that in McCartney 3, which he released post-lockdown.
That's a recent one,
isn't
it?
Yeah. There's mellotron in that as well.
Interesting. Okay.
For number one for me, though, because it is beautiful and it kicks off the song, and it is just, it works so well with the lyrics and everything. And it's a song that I really like, which I know, Rob, that you don't have as much love for.
Right.
And I think I put it, I think it won a Paul versus John in my favor, pretty sure. She's Leaving Home, the harp.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty.
Love that harp.
It's a pretty sound, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the harp features elsewhere as well, but like that's the beautiful moment. With She's Leaving Home, that's a beautiful and melancholic and sad and gorgeous.
Yeah.
All rolled into one.
Yeah, I think there's some cello on that track as well.
Yes.
Later on, which adds to it. Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So don't want to harp on, but that's the number one.
I was going to say dad joke, but you are a dad, so you get away with it.
Yes. Yep. Any others that, any sort of more sort of also rans that we can think of?
Oh, I'd have to sit down and think again. I really honed it down on this one to make my list. I mean, we're not including pianos, but how about electric pianos? There's some exciting electric piano sort of stuff in the early years.
Yep.
Probably around the Help.
LP. Is that the one, there's one where they're playing the electric piano and somebody just turns it off. It literally just stops.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Well, electric piano makes a list for that alone. Yeah.
And lots of interesting piano bits where they played it at normal speed, slowly, and then sped it up for the episode, for the song, sorry. Which was fun. So played around with sort of regular instruments, but tweaked or, you know, made different sounds or speeds or things. So yeah.
Oh, there's all sorts of brass, there are French horns and, you know, all sorts of stuff, but my top three is pretty solid, I think.
How could we forget the recorder from Fool on the Hill? How could we forget that?
There you go.
Easily forgotten, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very annoying. Hey, if you think that there is a non-standard instrument that we have completely overlooked, let us know on Twitter, @BeatlesWorldCup. I'd love to hear you from that. Next week, another best of. This one's a bit interesting because it's fairly broad, but who knows? You and I might agree on it, maybe. But it is the best source of information.
Oh, so that's our podcast.
No, not disinformation, information.
Oh. Apologies.
That is reference book or autobiography or documentary, you know. Some kind of non-fiction media that is the best source of info if you want to find out about the Beatles. I've got a lot of options on this one, Rob, so we'll be talking a fair bit on this one, I think.
Yeah, I'm starting to think already. Yeah, I will too. Yeah.
So we'll catch you next week for information source of.
See ya.
See ya.